You know real quickly that you don't have your glasses on when you look at the song sheet and you can't read any words.
I'm like, where are my glasses?
How are you guys? Nothing like some sweet worship to our Lord and our Savior to end a hard day. Amen? It's been a long day. We just came back from Colorado. We're completely blessed there in Estes Park. And got back Sunday night to this wonderful weather. I do believe we had something to do with that, I'm sure. We brought it back in with us. But it's been a hectic 2 days, and I just could not wait for tonight, for us just to kind of breathe out and just take the Lord in and just sit together and study His Word and just get renewed and refreshed. Amen? We're going to be in John 5 tonight, so if you want to go ahead and if you have a Bible, if you don't have a Bible, we have them on the tables, and you can grab one of those. If you need to take notes, you can take it back on the back of your song sheet, and there's pens right there on the table for you guys. I have had the privilege in the last several years to be able to work with some women, and there's women in here that have been with me on some missional opportunities of going and loving on women that are just broken. Women that are sick with addictions, homelessness, past sins that have just really placed them in bondage, and they're doing their best to get out of that. And as I went from place to place for a couple of years, the thing that I noticed the most and the things that I read the most was that there is an incredibly high percentage of those women that will go right back into the bondage that they tried to leave. And as I watched it, I began to ask questions of the women. And there was one specific week that I was there, and I asked, do you desire to be healed? Do you want to be healed? And as I sat with one woman who was going through just these unbelievable yearnings to go back to her past, even though it was an abusive past, the thing that she told me was, what was the hardest is that she didn't know what it looked like to be healed. She knows how to live sick, and she knows how to live in her illness of sin. And though she desires to overcome it, she doesn't know what it looks like there. And so because of that, it's this blocked wall that she hits on a continual basis. And I really believe that the most of the women that come out of their situations and go into faith-based programs, whenever those programs are over and they begin to leave, they end up going back to their past instead of moving forward with Christ. And so we're going to be looking at some of that tonight with a man that Jesus heals of a 38-year illness. And so we will be in chapter 5. We're going to be starting in verse 1 if you want to dive in with me. This chapter, in chapter 5, we are really starting to see division here in John. The first four chapters, if we were going to go back through those, and we've looked at a few of those. Can you not hear me? Can I get turned up, please? A few of those, you're going to see that Jesus is being seen as the Messiah. And so we begin to see a division here with this healing, as well as two more healings that we're going to be studying in the next couple of weeks. One is with the blind man, and one is with Lazarus. And with those, we begin to see rejection. We begin to see tensions come up with the Jewish people and with the Pharisees. And so we see that the coming in of the Messiah and trusting and all of that, there's friction that is beginning to happen because people are beginning to follow Christ by just the multitudes. And so we're going to see some of that friction as we study this tonight. If you'll look in verse 1, it says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. Now, we know from Scripture, from the Old Testament, that there are seven feasts. We don't know which one this is because John does not give us that information. It could possibly be the Passover. But I think the big thing is that they're allowing us to know why Jesus is in Jerusalem. and it's for one of these feasts. And they're at this pool of Bethesda, which is right beside the temple. And back in the 60s, they actually began excavating this area. And the pool is there with a few of the colonnades. So it is still there today as they are excavating that and bringing that out. And it was a habit for these people to gather together at this pool when the festivities and the feast would begin to happen, and they would come together in hopes of a miracle. And so that's what we see happening here, is all of these invalids and these lame people and these paralyzed people, they are all coming together in hopes for a miracle to happen. And this pool that is here, if you look, you're going to see that, at least in my Bible, if you have a King James, I think you'll have a verse 4. But if you don't have a King James, there's no verse 4. You go from 3 to 5. If you have a study Bible, you're going to be able to be given a little bit of information on that. But what they believed was rather superstitious. And they believed in this pool. The pool would rise up and it would lower with water. Actually, it was a spring. And so whenever in the hills, whenever the reservoir would open up, it would come in and it would rush in, and the pool would rise up. And then after a while, it would go back down. Well, when this happened, superstition is that an angel would come and trouble the waters and move the waters. And when that happened, the first one in the pool would be healed. And so that is why they have all come together hoping that the waters will be stirred. There was definitely healing at this time, but it's interesting because possibly it was more psychological. I know for me, whenever I don't feel good and I take vitamins, I feel great. And I always wonder if it's really psychological. And my husband says it is. I think that it's really the vitamins. But, you know, there's something about us whenever we really desire to be healed, especially if it's a mental or an emotional, if we truly believe, sometimes we bring ourselves out of that. And so there was definitely healing. There was probably miracles here. But that is actually what was happening with this pool and the things that are going on. And so spiritually, whenever we look at this, we need to realize that there's many of us that feel sick emotionally. And there's many times that we gather together and we sit and talk about the illnesses that we have. A lot of times, as I was studying this and just thinking about how I treat myself or how I treat other people's, I know that sometimes we categorize people, don't we? And I had wondered during this time at the feast if these invalids, if these ill and sick people felt like that they could even partake because of their uncleanness. And it made me wonder if I in any way keep others from partaking in God's goodness and in his festivities and in his celebrations because somebody has been categorized. And so I had to think through that process for me personally. And maybe that is where you are. Maybe you feel like that people look at you and feel like that you can't participate in the festivities of the Lord. In Romans 8:25, it says, but if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. And these people came over and over and over again with hope. And they waited with patience. If you look at verse 5, it says, one man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, do you want to be healed? And the sick man answered him and said, sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, and why I'm going another steps down before me. And Jesus said to him, get up, take your bed and walk. And at once the man was healed and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. Isaiah 65:1 says, I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. I was found for those who did not seek me. To a nation that did not call on my name, I said, here am I, here am I. And we see Jesus do that with this invalid. with this man of 38 years of an illness. He did not seek Jesus out. We learn that he doesn't even know who Jesus is in the beginning whenever he's asked. But Jesus sought him out. And that's what Jesus does with each one of us, is that he seeks us out, oftentimes before we even know his name, oftentimes before we even realize that we need help. He is there and he seeks us out. It says in scripture that this man had been an invalid for 38 years. He was weak, he was feeble, he was unable to stand. He had to have people help him get there. He was probably had some type of a wasting disease. He could have had something like cancer or multiple sclerosis or degenerative disease, but he had something that was not allowing him to walk. And he had been that way for 38 years. There have been some people that have been sick for so long that that is their identity. That is how they're known. This man, that's how he is described in scripture. A man who had been an invalid for 38 years. And they begin to label themselves. And as I studied this, I wondered how I label myself. What illnesses do I have that I have grabbed hold of, and that's how I identify myself? What emotional illnesses do you have? What things are happening in your life that is making you to a place of being weak and feeble? And you've identified yourself with that. I know for me, I think a couple of weeks ago, I spoke just very briefly on this, but there was a time in my life that whenever I would describe myself, I would say, I'm a woman or a girl. I would always say I'm a girl, because I would always go back. I'm a girl with no voice. I was a child with a low self-esteem, incredibly shy. And even whenever I came to know Christ and I was a new creation, I continued to walk with the label and the identity of having this illness. And I'd always say, but I'm a girl with no voice. When God called me to teach the Word of God, that's what I told him for about 4 years. You can't be calling me because I'm the girl with no voice. How can I be the one to lead your people through the Word of God? What have you labeled yourself with that you are limiting God from doing in your life? We all place labels on ourselves. We all have said, this is who I am, this is how people see me, so this is how I will continue to be. Are you labeled divorced? Unemployed? Are you labeled unbalanced? Financial disaster? What have you been labeled? What sickness have you placed on yourself that has made you frail and weak and unable to stand and unable to move forward? Because God desires for you to be healed of that. I just wonder, I know for me, whenever God finally brought me to that place, he let me know, Melissa, you are robbing yourself of spiritual health. Because you have placed limitations on yourself and you have said to me, you can't change me. Because you continue to call yourself sick and you continue to be weak. And I am here to overcome that with my power. So Jesus came to the sick man and he said, do you want help? Interesting to me, because I think, well, of course he wants help. But God never asks a foolish question. And so he asked this man, do you want help? And Hebrews 4:13 says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. He sees and he knows everything, and he knew this man's heart, and he singled this man out over all the multitudes. He came directly to him and he said, do you want to be healed? We all need God's help. We're all paralyzed. Today, I bet we had people in this room that were paralyzed from making decisions. We're all lame. We all desire to walk, and we can't move forward in the direction that God desires for us to go. We're blind to spiritual truths, and God desires to help us. And Jesus alone is the source of help, and he is the source of new life. And so he asked him, do you want to be healed? You can't heal someone without them wanting it. You can't fix somebody without them saying, I'm in need of that. You know, we have to come to a place where we recognize our own sin and say, I need a savior. So God, Jesus is asking him here, do you need help? Because he has to speak, he has to say yes to that. He has to be able to say, I'm the one and I'm ready to be helped. Because there's many people who still aren't ready. I mean, there are people that desire just to live within that weakness. It's an attention getter. It's their conversation. They would have nothing else to talk about except for what that is. And so you have to be ready and desire to move on. And so Jesus is going to ask you point blank, do you need help? Tonight he might ask you, do you need help? And if you say no, and if you say not yet, then that's it. It's done. He's not going to heal. He's going to wait until you've done everything with your own power and you become completely weak and you say, yes, Lord, I need help. And so I wonder where we are tonight if God were to ask us that. I know whenever I came to that place with that, just that one thing, because God is gracious and he only shows me one thing at a time. Just one thing at a time. And then he just waits until I say, I'm ready. I'm ready. And so the man's response, if you look here in scripture, he responds with no hope. It's as if he's given up. He says, I try to get there. No one's here to help me. And if I do move forward, someone comes in front of me. And for many of you, you see no way out. You see no hope in your future. Your life right now is at a dead end street. And there's nothing that you can see that can overcome that. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe you just have that one glass of wine at night, and then it becomes two, and then it becomes three, and you think, but I'm controlling it. I make the decisions. But really and truly, if you sat down and thought about it, it's controlling you. Maybe it's prescription drugs. You began taking it for medical reasons, and you're way past the health issues of being cured from that. And it's just become a habit of who you are, and it's how you function every day. And you just think that there's no way out from that. Maybe it's a marriage that you're in that you feel hopeless and helpless within that. And you say that, God, there's no, I've done everything myself, and there's no way out. Maybe it's financial. We talked a little bit about that last week. Maybe you believe that shopping is going to lift your spirit a little bit and make you feel good about yourself. Maybe you shop and you buy the best of the best and you have the right car and the right home and everything so that everyone around you will believe that you're succeeding. Whenever deep inside you are the most broken person and you think that there's no way that you can cry out for help because it's a dead end. And so this man saw that there was no hope, but Jesus saw the man's heart. He knew what was on the inside. And hit just with the power of his word, he says, get up, take up your mat, take up your bed, and walk. And so this man's faith had to transfer from himself to Jesus. He quit trying to do everything on his own and finding other people to try to help him to become healthy. And he transferred it over and said, Jesus, I give it to you for you to make me healthy. It says here to get up. The Greek in this means to cause to rise. Jesus is the one that is causing the rise. It is his will to bring this man up. It means to arouse from the sleep of death. He says, get up, take your bed. Don't leave it behind. I love this because I was thinking, you know, why would he take up his bed? You know what? So that tomorrow he won't go right back to that spot and get back in it. Amen. If you have an addiction, if you have an illness, God says you get rid of it completely. You don't enable yourself to go back to that place. You take it and you remove it from this place. So he says, take up your bed. Don't allow yourself to relapse back into that person. Don't allow yourself to become vulnerable again and weak in your situation. Remove all obstacles so that you can continue to move forward. And then he says, walk. When you go to God for help, he's always going to give you something for you to believe. He's going to give you something for you to take action. It's your choice. And so he says, you walk. And this man walked out his faith. He exercised his faith by moving forward. It is your choice. The Lord may will it for your life, but you have to choose to act it out in faith. And so we see this man go and do it. Don't be expected to be carried by God the rest of your life or by anyone else. He has given you the power to overcome your circumstance. And he's saying, you walk. I've given you the power to rise up, and I've given you the power to take action and do something with it. And so it's very important for us to understand that if we desire to heal, to get rid of the obstacles, pour out the alcohol, flush the drugs, tear up the credit cards, whatever it is that is going on in your life, you need to break that. For me, I had to break relationships. I had to break relationships because they were walking me into sin every day. I would follow those people straight into the party bars. When I came to Christ, he said, you break the relationships or it will enable you to go right back to your weakness. It'll enable you to go right back to your temptation. The thing that is making you the sickest, you've got to walk away from, and you do a 180-degree turn. And so he is telling him to move forward and to keep your eyes on me, is what Jesus said. I am the author and the perfecter of your faith. You stay with me, you abide in me, and you will have the power to overcome any illness. And so God willed this man to be healed, and this man willed himself. He came into agreement with the Lord and said, yes, this is what I want for my life. And he moved forward. So we see in scripture in verse 9, at the end of verse 9, it says that this was on the Sabbath day. And if you look at verse 10, it says, so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, it is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed. But he answered them, the man who healed me, that man said to me, take up your bed and walk. And they asked him, who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? Now the man who had been healed did not know who it is, for Jesus had withdrawn as there was a crowd in a place. When I read that, I just thought, how many times has God healed me? How many times has God protected me? Has he provided for me? And I didn't even know. Because my eyes were just closed to the miracles that he was doing in my life. Today, I bet we've had multiple things happen in our life that we can't even realize to acknowledge that Christ is the one that did it. The man at this point didn't know the name of Jesus. With this taking place on the Sabbath, this is what I was talking about, that this division that is going to begin to happen, the Pharisees feel like that they've got Jesus just around the neck right now, that they have finally found something that will keep him from being followed by the multitudes. And it's because that he has broken the Sabbath. He has broken law. And the law of Moses said to keep the Sabbath holy and to not do any type of work. And in Jeremiah, it says, in Jeremiah 17:22, don't carry a load. And this man is carrying his bed. So what's amazing to me is they were so merciless that they didn't even see the miracle. They were completely stuck on the regulations. They didn't even see the grace that had happened to this man. And so they totally focused on the law. And it made me wonder, how often has our skepticism kept someone else from believing that God has healed them? How often do we say, really? You're not in any pain anymore? Well, that just can't be. You've been in pain for 6 months. And we just begin this skepticism. Really, you think you're emotionally healed from that marriage? Well, I don't think it's been long enough. You haven't grieved long enough. And we just kind of put people right back into the pit. Instead of seeing the grace and the mercy of our Lord that he can do miracles immediately and instantly, like he has done with this man. We need to realize that God isn't limited. He's not limited by man-made laws. He is not limited by the things that we place on him, days of the week. Oh God, you can't heal me today because today I got a lot of stuff to do and don't have time. He's not limited if we desire for him to heal us. And so I wonder how we limit him today. I wonder how I limit him today. I wonder what it is that I said, it won't happen, God. It can't be. And it's because of us that we don't see the miracle. Psalm 145, 7 says, "Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limits." Mark 19, 26 says, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Don't limit God in your life. In those areas where you are weak and frail and you feel like, I can't move forward. I can't move on. I can't renew a friendship or a relationship because I'm too broken. I can't allow anyone else into my life because the last person I allowed into my life, they broke trust. And so I'm going to put up this wall. Don't limit God. He desires to heal you of those emotional illnesses that you have. Look at verse 14. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is working now, and I am working." Jesus found him. He found him in the temple. He was giving proper thanksgiving sacrifice. Scripture says that when you are healed, you go to the temple and you have a thanksgiving offering to the Lord to celebrate the healing that has happened in your life. He's at the temple. He didn't go back to the colonnade. He didn't go back to the place where he was ill and sick and where he's comfortable. It's been 38 years. He went straight to the throne. And he thanked his God for the healing. And he began to move forward. Psalm 107, 20 through 23, 22 says, "He sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy." He went to the temple and he worshiped. If you want to be healed and you want to stay fully healed, you praise God. When those temptations come back in and when those doubts come back in and you start questioning, am I really okay? You speak scripture aloud and you keep a praise offering going. That's when healing begins and that's when it can be completed. As you stay focused on the Lord. Where has God found you after you've been healed? When you have miraculously come through a divorce and that you begin to feel the healing of God, where does he find you? You need to be in community with other believers. You need to be focused on Christ. You need to be studying the Word of God and spending time in prayer. That's how you'll be able to continue to move forward as he began that healing on you. That's whenever you're going to be able to continue to say, "Yes, I want to be healed." Because it's going to be a day-by-day process. Every morning you're going to wake up and you're going to say, "Yeah, I want to live new. I want to live free. I want to be completely out of bondage and I choose life." And so it's a continual basis that you have to go through. And Jesus says here, "See, you are well." You are well. The Greek there is, you are whole. You are complete. You are fully healthy, physically, mentally, emotionally. God says you have been forgiven, you have been cleansed, and you are pure. And so he says, see, you are well. And then he goes on to say, sin no more. And I know for many of us, as I began speaking tonight and I talked of healing, you probably almost shut me off, and I hope you didn't. Because there are times in our lives where there's illnesses that we won't be able to overcome until we see Jesus Christ face to face. But what we are seeing in Scripture here by what Jesus is revealing when he says, sin no more, with this man, his sickness is because of sin. It's because of sin in his life. And for many of us, the same thing with us. Our sickness and our illness right now, the emotional imbalance that we're going through, the temptations that we have, is because of sin in our life. And we're sick. And Jesus says, I will heal you, but sin no more. Move forward and move away from that temptation. Move away from that sin. And so he is revealing to this man the trouble. He's revealing that some sin in this man's life that we are not given the information towards has sapped him of life and energy and vitality. It has taken it away from this man. Sin doesn't always make people sick. Scripture says that corporate sin is the illnesses that we see of the cancers and the different things that are going on. But with this man and with many of us in this room, with me personally, sin is what makes us sick. And so Jesus is saying, you are well. It could have been that this man had a bitter spirit towards somebody. And because of that bitterness within him, it ate him alive and it sapped him of all of his energy. It could have been a shameful habit that he had. Something that he had hidden from people, and the more he continued to do it, the more it injured him spiritually to the place where he was completely weak. It could have been, for many of us, I believe, for me included, whenever I speak for myself, that it could be that he couldn't forgive somebody. And whenever we can't forgive another person, it kills us. God calls us to forgive because he knows the freedom that we will have from that. He calls us to forgive because he knows it will kill us spiritually and physically if we keep it on ourselves. Galatians 6, 7, and 8 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. That means that they will reap injury, hurt, damage, heartache, sorrow. It will all come from this because God reads the person's heart and he knows the person's heart. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. That's vitality and peace and joy and the good things that keep us whole and keep us spiritually healthy. Is there sin in your life that is bringing you to a place of great illness? Do you have no life? Do you have no excitement and joy with what God is desiring to do in your life? Do you feel like that you are just in this pit of depression? And Jesus wants to help you, and he wants to help you tonight. But you have to want to help yourself. And then if you look here at Scripture, it says that this is why the Jews were persecuting Jesus. They really believed that they could hide behind the violation of law, that he had broken law, and that that's why they could arrest him, that that's why they could make him quit speaking the gospel of the kingdom of God is now and it is here. But Jesus ignored them. He ignored them here. He ignored them frequently. In Mark 7, 8, it says, because he knew the tradition of men. He knew the rules that man was placing on the law. And so he would ignore what he says. But he explains in here. He says, my Father is working, and I am working. He says, you may be looking back at the law of Moses, I'm looking back even further. I'm looking at God. And God is working in this place, and I am his instrument, and I'm going to work with him. So once again, they would go back and they would get stuck on law. They wouldn't see the grace and the mercy of God. And Jesus says, I am working with him. Never limit Jesus. He is unlimited. And so we see here in Scripture tonight that Jesus confronted this man as he confronts you and I, and he says, do you want to be healed? And then he heals the man just with the power of his word. Once again, he shows that he has all authority, and just with his words, he says, I will you to get up. And then he confirms the healing. He says, you are well. You are whole. Your sins have been forgiven. Move forward and abide with me and sin no more. Jesus is not limited. He does not answer to man. He does the work that his Father is doing. And he says, I am his instrument. If he is working, I will work. And guys, his greatest desire is for your spiritual well-being. He is always going to go straight to the heart. He does business, and he does it well. And so he goes straight to the heart here, and his primary question is, do you want to be healed? And if your answer is yes, then he says, stand up, take your bed, never go back, and walk. Let us pray. Dear Father, you are so good, and I thank you for the word of God. I thank you that you call us to community, dear Father, because it's good for us. It's good for us to sit together and just look at Scripture and really question it and question ourselves and try to see what it is that you want us to teach in our lives right now. Dear Father, in Scripture, in Psalm 51, it says, create in me a pure heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me, dear Father. Restore in me the salvation, the joy of your salvation, dear Father, and give me a spirit that will sustain me. I pray that for us tonight. I pray, dear Father, that every one of us, as you whisper into our hearts and say, do you truly want to be healed? I pray that we won't push that away and that we won't say that's a discussion for another day. I pray that every one of us in this room desires to be spiritually whole, and we desire to be well. Dear Father, you desire us to be there with you. You desire for us to have wholeness, to have full forgiveness of sin, dear Father, but we have to have the need and the know that we've got to give it to you and say, I trust you fully and completely. I pray that you put us on our knees, dear Father. Put us in a place where we have to say, I can't do it anymore by myself. I quit. And we reach out to you, and you begin the healing process. We love you, Lord. We ask all these things in your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.